Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to the Wednesday show. You're pretty much done with your waiver wiring. It's time to take a look at the Thursday night game and some buy low, sell high. We're running out of time for buy low, sell high. Trade deadlines are approaching. Also, guys, I don't think you are aware of this, but today is the commish show. We're going to help people with their commissioner problems. That's pretty exciting, right?
I have, having been in multiple leagues that you commish, I've seen the commish show over and over.
Actually, one of the leagues that we're all in is having a major commish problem, and I'm at the center of it, but I'm not the commissioner. So
really?
I look forward to that. Yeah.
Which league is that? How do I not know about this?
This is the June Magazine League.
What's the issue?
We'll get to that. It's a teaser.
Maybe if you listen to this podcast, you'll see.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't even know what the controversy is.
I don't know. I'm the commissioner, so I don't know what the issue is.
Oh, it's big issue. It's big issue.
Okay.
Controversy. Now, can you guess the most added player in CBSSports.com leagues?
Giants DST.
They are fourth.
Steelers DST.
No, they're like 10th.
Is it an actual player?
It's a player.
Cameron Meredith.
Now he's 7th. One more guess, Heath.
Matt Prater.
Matt Prater, booyah! You're not Heath, but good guess.
Zero guesses.
Matt Prater, the most added player. Is that a good ad?
He's the most highest projected kicker.
I added him in two different leagues.
Yeah, Jacksonville does give up the most points to kickers. I picked up Nick Novak last week because, you know, Jacksonville gives up the most points to kickers, and it actually was a decent strategy, but he missed two field goals. So, if he had been a little bit better, probably would have been a nice week from Nick Novak. So, there you go. Prater number one, Dolphins number two, Procise number three, Giants, Lions, and Dustin Hopkins. That means we have one position player in the top six. And then Cameron Meredith, and then Adam Vinatieri. He's 89% owned, so take a look at Adam Vinatieri, who was dropped last week. He and Matt Bryan have been the best kickers. So, take advantage of that. Any sneaky waiver wire ads for you guys? Anybody that we didn't talk about yesterday that you saw yourself picking up?
We talked about picking up Sammy Watkins yesterday, and I got him in a couple of leagues where I believe I'm playoff bound. So, excited to have him. Waiting on my bench. Hopefully I can use him.
How much did Alshon Jeffrey get dropped yesterday?
He is now 87% owned, down from 99% owned.
Because I did not see him get dropped in any of my leagues.
Yeah, not one. Strange, huh? I figured at least in a couple he'd get cut.
Good point.
People are going to wait.
The only guy I wanted to bring up, I know this is not exciting, but he got 10 carries in his last game. And we thought that they were probably done with him. But Dwayne Washington for Detroit. Do you see any appeal to having Dwayne Washington?
I thought about bringing him up yesterday, and I noticed that he was barely owned. But when he's had the opportunity, he just hasn't been any good. Yeah. So I don't know how you can grab him and think, okay, well, this is a guy who could potentially break out.
They should just pick up Christian Michael.
I think there's going to be a team ahead of them that picks up Christian Michael.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be a few teams.
There might be a team in their division that picks up Christian
Michael. The Packers absolutely pick up Christian Michael.
That's the team.
Yeah, Christian Michael got cut. Let's just
why
go.
Not? He's cheap.
Yeah, he's plenty cheap.
Right to the news because the waiver wire is not so exciting this week. But Gronkowski not cleared to fly yet, so I'm assuming you guys are anticipating Gronkowski does not play this week.
So you're saying Gronk didn't get his wings?
Do I get that? I don't get that.
You know, like you've got to get your wings.
Is it like a Red Bull joke?
No.
Aerosmith joke? I think they have
no,
an album.
It's a Dave is old joke. Like they used to give like a little pair of wings to first time travelers and kids and stuff like that when you go to dinner.
Okay. Remember when they had meals on flights?
Silverware. You could have said like this is really going to take the air out of the Patriots pass attack.
You're assuming he doesn't play, right?
He's going to be grounded.
Okay.
He might not. You know what's going to happen is he's going to be limited in practice all week and then listed as questionable. And then when they fly out there, if he doesn't fly out, the Patriots will downgrade him. And if he does fly out there, then the Patriots aren't going to say boo.
If you knew Gronkowski were missing the game, would you rather start Martellus Bennett or Greg Olsen this week?
I'm going to stick with Olsen.
Yeah.
Olsen.
Against New Orleans.
Okay. Olsen it is, and we will preview that game. Seattle waived Kristen Michael, so that's got to make you feel a little bit better about Thomas Rawls and CJ Procise. And the Bears took Marcus Wilson off the pup list. Marquise Wilson off the pup list. As I mentioned, last year Alshon missed 7 games, and he had a stretch, Marquise Wilson, of 3 straight games with 80 or more yards. He played pretty well, and then he completely disappeared. How do you think Marquise Wilson factors in with the rest of the Bears receivers?
Once he's actually on the field, he should help out quite a bit. And I think Jay Cutler likes him. We saw it last year. But guess what? I'm still not confident enough to start him.
I would say he will be their number one once he's fully active, maybe in 2 weeks.
All right. So we don't think he's going to play this week against the Giants.
Oh, he might.
He might, but I wouldn't expect it.
And I wouldn't start him.
No,
you're stashing him in deeper leagues. If I'm the guy that just picked up Sammy Watkins, I'm keeping Sammy Watkins, and I'm not making a move for Marquise.
Gotcha. Is there an update on Jordan Howard?
We'll get one today. Check back on the site Wednesday night.
And Jared Goff is going to start for the Rams. Do you think Kenny Britt is droppable?
No, but I don't know how many people feel comfortable starting him this week.
We need this doesn't necessarily make me feel worse or better about Kenny Britt. It adds a lot of unknown. I would prefer to take 1 week off of starting him.
We're all making the assumption that Jared Goff is going to struggle out there.
My assumption is that he's probably pretty similar to Case Keenum. It's hard to be a lot worse than Case Keenum.
It's possible.
It's
you
possible.
Might see
but
it.
It's hard to be a lot worse than Case Keenum. I just don't know. Like, we don't know who his favorite receiver is going to be.
And you don't know just how well he will. We're assuming he's not going to play well because he wasn't put on the field at all in the first 10 weeks of the season. So we're giving credit to Jeff Fisher for knowing what he's doing, sort of.
Jeff Fisher's really good at one thing. Going 8-8.
Okay.
And keeping his job.
No, 3 things.
You forgot about the mustache.
Keeping the best mustache ever.
Yes. So, I would think if you have this guy that's maybe a little better than Case Keenum, but you don't want him to get exposed, you sit him for the first 10 games and you play him in the second half. He shows a little bit of promise and you say, see, next year. Next year,
that's
we're going
to
the
be theory, better. Right? That Jeff Fisher did that just to try and keep his nest in LA.
One more year.
The weird thing is that it's coming off of a win.
Yeah, right.
Not that they played well or really deserved to win, but it's coming off of a win.
And the offensive line, are they going to be without their center? Like, I'm just saying, it's not like their center was a great offensive lineman.
The Dolphins' defense is playing great.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up because the Dolphins' DST is 59% owned. Or 58% owned.
Top so, 5 DST.
I switched the priority order after that news yesterday in the waiver wire column. I put them first.
Oh, ahead of the Giants?
Yeah, and the Steelers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just think about
plus
the situation.
They get the 49ers next week at home on a 1 o'clock game.
They're a good
2-week streamer.
Both the Dolphins and the Giants now are good 2-week streamers.
Yep.
And the Dolphins, you know, last 4 weeks, these are their fantasy points. And I always say that your league defensive scoring, it's so different from league to league. But in our standard scoring defensive metrics, I think last week or 2 weeks ago that 8 fantasy points for a DST was usually good enough to finish 12th. So they have scored 12, 8, 15, and 19 in their last 4 games. They had a pick 6. They had a special teams touchdown in their last 2 games. So that helps, but the Dolphins defense is playing pretty well and definitely want to pick them up for the next 2 games. All right, cool. So let's talk trade here. Buy low, sell high. The trade deadline is usually around Thanksgiving, so we'll probably have 2 more shows this week and next week talking trade, maybe a little bit more after that. But I'm getting a lot of questions lately about people who might be, on paper, giving up more than they should, but they're trading away basically bench depth to get a stud starter. So is now the time to consolidate talent? Or do you need to have some bench depth just in case? You don't know who's going to be injured in your fantasy playoffs. I think you guys know what I'm saying. You probably articulated it a little bit better. But what do you think about that strategy just in general?
Now is the time to consolidate talent.
And why do you do it? Because people might be wondering why. Number one, you're getting a better player if you're trading 2-for-1.
Right. Bye weeks are over. There's less weeks, so injury risk shrinks.
And there's less lineup thinking.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people that get into the playoffs and they're going to freak out because they don't know how to start player A or player B. Well, if you're consolidating talent, you're settling on one guy for one spot every week until the season's over. So I kind of like that. I like that you don't have to think and worry and sweat it out. You're committing and you're on your way. And it works the other way too. And this is why the 2-for-1 deal is such a good deal this time of the fantasy season, because the team that's going to give you the one stud is a team fighting for a playoff berth. They want to get in the wild card race. They'll take two starters for one stud. And I'm not talking about James Starks and Kenny Britt for Julio Jones, but I'm talking about two really good starters for one great starter. And it's probably going to be an overpay, but you'll take it. And you'll be glad to get the overpay because you're going to get two good starters for your team that should theoretically push you over the top and get you into the wild card race.
I think you should look at fantasy playoff matchups just to make sure you're not buying a player who has a really tough schedule in the playoffs. And there's one team that really stands out, and that's the Green Bay Packers. And I want to know what you guys think. If your playoffs start or end in week 16, Seattle week 14, at Chicago week 15, that should be fine. Minnesota week 16. You look at the last three times Aaron Rodgers has played Minnesota, scored 20 fantasy points in a 30-13 win last year, scored 14 fantasy points in Lambeau in the last regular season game last year, and he scored 18 fantasy points with a rushing touchdown in week 2 this year. So they face Seattle in week 14, Chicago in week 15, and Minnesota in week 16. Does that mean we should avoid the Packers guys in the playoffs or try to get them off your team or at least not trade for them? Like, what do you make of that schedule?
There's just so much that could change between now and then.
There is, but at the same time, I think fundamentally it would take like a series of unfortunate events for either Seattle's defense or Minnesota's defense to go from.
Well, look at Minnesota's defense
tough,
now.
But it's not like they're awful now.
Kirk Cousins just marched right through them.
22 fantasy points. That's the best
you'll take
game
that
all year. You'll take that from Aaron Rodgers? I mean,
not if you can sell him for more
that's
than that.
That's the best game all year against Minnesota.
But you're seeing a track record, though, of teams getting better and better and better against them.
They have not been as good. They definitely have not been as good. In fact, a lot of people wanted to know if they should drop the Vikings DST. I forgot to bring it up. I think you can, right?
Well, you can, but you don't.
I wouldn't this week. I just think Arizona's not playing well.
Right. I wouldn't mind trading Aaron Rodgers if I'm going to get a lot in return for
it. Well, that goes without saying with any player, though.
I think with Aaron Rodgers, you can get away with doing that.
It's not a bad strategy, but I think the smart owner buying Aaron Rodgers would say he hasn't been the guy that we thought he was. But I just look at it from the standpoint of why would you overpay for quarterback?
Well,
I guess I would speak to the people that are buying.
Aaron Rodgers is scoring 30 points a week.
Right. And that's why you could sell him high if you're afraid.
But you could also just play the streaming game and you may not get 30 points a week, but you may get 22 to 25 and not have to overhaul your roster.
Right. He's had 29 plus fantasy points four straight games, Rodgers. And even though the Packers aren't winning, he's getting good numbers.
And the gamble would be is, you hit on Joe Flacco 1 week, and you miss on Jay Cutler the next week.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that if I'm in the fantasy playoffs. I want to have a good quarterback. This is perfect
but
for anybody that's got Aaron Rodgers and somebody
But if your
else.
Team is just, oh, absolutely. I mean, sure, there's obvious reasons to sell him. But I still think, though, if you have the team that is built to win, and you've been just getting by week-to-week quarterbacks, you may hit on somebody like Dak Prescott, like Marcus Mariota, these are guys that we picked up off waivers 3-4 weeks ago, and they've been awesome.
Yeah.
And now maybe it's Tyrod Taylor. His schedule looks pretty good.
That's a good one. I feel like we're sort of running out of underowned quarterbacks. I don't know who's going to emerge, but Taylor's a good one because he's been pretty good lately. And
Get Sammy Watkins back.
Yeah, I don't know what their playoff schedule is. Let's take a look at that. But
I haven't.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's pretty good.
Oh, it's very good.
They're Cincinnati this week, Jacksonville at Oakland, and then the playoffs. Pittsburgh in 14 at home. Cleveland at home in week 15. That's going to be a monster. The Dolphins at home in week 16. That's three in a row in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And then week 17 at the Jets. That's your quarterback. That's the move.
I just wanted to say that the Aaron Rodgers schedule and all those guys, I mean, Seattle and Minnesota in weeks 14 and 16, I felt like that needed to be brought up. It's interesting. At the very least, it's interesting. You know, like if you're playing against Aaron Rodgers in your fantasy playoffs and he has an easy matchup, you're like, oh crap, he's going to drop 30. You're playing against them and he's got Seattle or Minnesota, you're not feeling quite as nervous. All right, so let's talk buy low, sell high. Dave, buy low. DeAndre Hopkins, really?
Yeah, because you can buy low.
Do you want to?
I don't mind. I think he's eventually going to put together some good games, and you're trading for him. You're going to trade for him at a number three receiver value, and you're going to expect a number three to number two receiver return.
If you owned DeAndre Hopkins, would you take number three receiver value for him?
Which number three receiver?
I don't know. As a Hopkins owner, if I got lowballed, look, somebody who's a number
there,
three.
There are so many people that are ready to punt on. Every Sunday I'm asked, can I cut DeAndre Hopkins?
Are you
now?
Trading Hopkins for Tyrell Williams?
Yes.
Absolutely. I'd rather have Tyrell Williams.
But would you trade him for Willie Snead?
That's tougher.
I think maybe a better way to get him would be if you're a team that has three starting running backs and you're done with your buys and trade your third best running back.
I don't know if I would even do that. I'm looking at my fourth.
Give you Ryan Matthews. You don't have a running back. I'll give you Ryan Matthews for DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Well, I think anybody would do that. Would you do Frank Gore for DeAndre Hopkins?
No, I'd rather.
If I have Zeke and Doug Martin or Zeke and Jordan Howard, or if I have two good running backs, yeah.
I'm not trading for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm trading for a receiver that on a good week at this point is going to get me eight fantasy
Wait
points.
A second. I need to talk philosophically here, Heath.
Okay.
So here's why I'd be a little hesitant to do what you just said. Well, you didn't give me the full scenario of who your fourth running back is, but even though buys are up, I don't want only two good running backs. Like, I would love to have a third option.
Most of your teams, you only have two good running backs.
But if I have a third, I would love a third option for the playoffs and for the rest of the season, you know, so I can play the matchup, so I can not be terrified of an injury that would derail my season completely. I'm not sure I'm willing to give up all of my bench depth at a position, you know, to address another need, unless I absolutely had to.
I agree. I'm with you.
Okay.
I would be glad to trade my Frank Gore for DeAndre Hopkins.
Are you crazy?
If I have two good running backs
for Hopkins, than Hopkins.
I hope
for
I
Gore.
Can make that trade happen.
Go try to make it happen.
I don't think I have DeAndre. Many of my
I don't friends. Have Frank Gore either.
Gore's been good.
That's not
going
to work very well.
Yeah, absolutely. People with DeAndre Hopkins will gladly take Frank Gore for me. If they don't, then they haven't been paying attention.
All right, so trying to just trade some excess depth to take a chance on DeAndre Hopkins.
Right, and it's just...
What do we have, 2 weeks before trade deadline?
In most leagues, it's actually 1 week.
Yeah. Okay, so if he has a good game this week, which wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility, given what Oakland's shown, is this conversation the same?
His value will go up a little bit. I don't think it's... You know, is he going to put up 100 and a touch?
Against Oakland.
Like, what's a good week for DeAndre Hopkins at this point?
80 and touch.
I mean,
that's 80. A good game for him.
if he scores 100 and a touchdown, is it still?
I think people are commit. I think people will lock into Hopkins at that point. They won't trade him.
Like, you got to do it now if you
see,
want.
But I mean, the guys you're saying trading for, I would still hold him this week just to see what happens.
I certainly like.
Well,
Hopkins.
No, he was saying buy him though.
I'm not. Yeah, but not for the Frank.
You're also saying
not for Frank
him.
Gore and not for Tyrell Williams.
Well, okay.
This is a buy low, not buy whatever.
Yeah, I certainly like his next four games. Well, at least the next three. At Oakland, San Diego, at Green Bay. And then at Indianapolis, Jacksonville.
I like that game.
Yeah, Cincinnati in week 16. It's not
that
bad.
That's the toughest game left is Cincinnati in 16.
Jamie says, buy low on Randall Cobb.
I mean, he's been hurt. He's been underperforming when he's come back the last two games. If somebody's frustrated, go see what they'll give you for.
Whose value is higher right now, Cobb's or Hopkins?
Cobb.
Who's his quarterback?
Yeah, he has a better quarterback. He's just third in the pecking order.
Do you remember last year? I'm going back to Hopkins now. Do you remember last year how his catch rate, Hopkins was like at 58%, and then we went into the offseason saying, well, Brock Osweiler can't be so bad compared to the Brian Hoyer, Brandon Weeden, TJ Yatesville.
Wrong.
Hopkins is catching like 51% of his targets now. Like, Osweiler is a huge reason why he's going backward.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously.
Dude, for 98 yards last week. That's unbelievable.
99.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Okay, Heath says buy low on the Buccaneers.
And I think both my buy low and my sell high could be guys where you try to do it this week, and if you can't get low enough, then you wait a week, and then right before the deadline, you go get them or you go sell them. Because I don't know if this is going to be a great week against Kansas City. I think people might look at the schedule over the next couple weeks. If you have Tampa Bay and you're sitting at 4-6 or 5-5 or 6-4, you've got Martin or Winston or Evans, and you look at the Chiefs and the Seahawks, the next two teams on the schedule, you might not get in the playoffs. You might be in a lot of trouble. If you've already locked up your playoff spot and you got a chance to have New Orleans, Dallas, New Orleans in the fantasy playoffs, any of those guys are buy lows.
Well, who are the legitimate buy lows here? It's Winston.
I think Martin still is.
It's Martin. Is in that.
Evans is not.
Yeah. There's no way with Evans.
Winston and Martin.
And Brait, I guess.
No, Brait's
going to have
Brait's
two bad
high.
Games.
Right.
Coming up. He may get cut.
Yeah, so Heath.
It's basically Martin and Winston.
Isn't Kansas City a good matchup for Doug Martin, though?
Yes.
Should be.
I think they're pretty average.
No, they've been giving up a lot of yards on the ground. They just didn't last week to Stewart. They did to Cam.
Yeah, I think they were giving up like 4.8 yards per carry going into that game. I don't know if Justin Houston is going to make a huge difference there. It might.
No, he's not really much of a runner.
I was hoping to have an opportunity, Dave, to bring this up, and this is the perfect opportunity. And it's nothing else. This is a good person to go check out. At Fantasy Process on Twitter keeps track of how defenses do against positions, not by how many fantasy points they've given up, but how many fantasy points they've given up relative to expectation, relative to that the players they've faced average. And because the Chiefs have given up plenty of fantasy points, they are 14% below average, though, like the seventh best against running backs.
When you say average, is that like a league average or
no,
is that
the average of the players they've faced?
Okay, so it's based on what somebody thinks the expectation
and it's a similar situation we saw earlier in the year with the Dolphins. They had given up a ton of fantasy points the first 6 weeks to running backs, and they'd played almost all of the best running backs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense they'd given up a ton of fantasy points. Right now, you look at the Dolphins, and they are the third best team in fantasy football against running backs.
Okay.
They've held running backs 20% below their season average.
Good to know. All right,
great.
And
Todd Gurley.
We go to the sell highs then, and Heath says sell high on LeGarrette Blount, who is the number 5 running back in standard, number 8 in PPR. That's weekly scoring, not overall scoring, so that does not penalize you for a bye week. Averaging 3.7 yards per carry, 6 catches this season. You say sell high on LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, and he might continue to score 2 touchdowns a week, but I mean, you look at the yardage totals, and he's got 1 over 69 yards. He's got 2 over 50 yards. And I would expect down the stretch there's going to be some games where Brady just throws for 3 or 4 touchdowns, and he doesn't give you much at all. Again, this is sell high. I'm not selling LeGarrette Blount for what his value was coming into the year. I'm not selling LeGarrette Blount even for low-end number 2 value, but I'd sell him for a borderline number 1. I'd sell him for a borderline number 1 wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. So you'd sell him for Brandon Cooks, or is that not high enough?
If he was my 3rd running back, I think I'd sell him for Brandon. I mean, I'd say 3rd running back by perception. He's obviously not my 3rd running back by points scored.
Right.
But if I have 2 very good starting running backs, I think I'd take Cooks for him.
Would you take Demaryius Thomas?
I don't think so.
Would you take, I'm sure you'd say yes to Jordy Nelson, Allen Robinson? Is that a trade that could be made?
I have not looked at Jacksonville's schedule.
Would you like to know it?
Yes, they play Detroit this week.
Does it even matter? Because you know they're going to be playing from behind.
They play Detroit this week.
They've got Detroit this week at Buffalo, so second week in a row on the road. Denver at home.
That's bad.
Minnesota at home.
That's bad.
At Houston.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do it for Allen Robinson.
Tennessee at home in week 16.
I would not do it for Allen Robinson.
Okay, interesting. Right. Yeah, I don't mind, it, only if you're just so rich at running back to get rid of LeGarrette Blount, but you've got to get something really good.
Cool.
You think you could sell LeGarrette Blount for Doug Martin?
Oh, maybe.
Would
but
you?
But I think it's close between those two. Oh, I'd rather have Blount, though.
If I've locked up my place in the playoffs, 100% I would.
Yeah, just the one thing on Blount is that he's played 5 games with Brady. He's had 18 or more carries in 4 of those 5 games. And if you're telling me that, like, because I see what you're saying and I agree, but if you're telling me he's going to get 18 carries a game, he's probably going to be pretty damn good.
Right. I said I wouldn't sell him for a low end number. I think he'll be a number 2 running back. I don't think he's going to be a top 5 running back.
I've got him 8th on the trade chart.
Rest of the season.
Running back, rest of the season.
Jamie's sell high really hurts. Jamie wants to sell high on Team Name Tuesday.
You had a really good showing yesterday.
There's
buddy.
No pursuit. Oh,
it was
really?
Good, right?
Yeah, it was a good showing.
You think I should retire it?
I would.
No chance. No chance.
Go out on top.
Well, do you have any actual sell highs?
No.
Dave, you have Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs has played 8 games. He, over 16 games, he would have 122 catches and 1,400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Mm.
That's insane.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that.
No.
Look, I love what I've seen. I don't think he's going to catch 13 passes every week.
I think and I don't think he's going to get 164 yards. Though.
He's good.
He is good.
He doesn't have bad matchups either.
And he doesn't have anybody else to share targets with.
I don't like the offense. I think if you can sell high on him and get more in value than what I think you should be able to get, you should do it.
I would rather have him than Hopkins.
Yes, I would too. That's a no-brainer. But okay. Would you rather have him or Tyrell Williams?
Him.
I'd call Tyrell. I'd
go Tyrell instead.
It's the those matchups for Tyrell Williams are just
absolutely
redundant.
What about T.Y. Hilton or Stephon Diggs? Is that a no-brainer?
Oh, that's it's Hilton for sure.
What about Davante Adams?
They're right in the range.
They're basically the same.
Yeah.
Well, right here,
would you trade him for Randall Cobb, Jamie? Who would you rather have rest of season?
I'd rather have Diggs.
I would too.
Here's the thing about Cobb. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Cobb has brutal history against Minnesota, right?
Maybe. I have no idea.
I'd have to go back and look. I can check if you want to give me a minute.
I thought that was the case. And hey, that's his week 16 matchup. So if you do trade for Cobb, look, that doesn't mean he can't be good every other week. You might be sitting him in week 16. That just want to throw that out there.
He's played them several times in his career. He's had 10 fantasy points, none of them.
Yeah,
he's got a 9-pointer, an 8-pointer earlier this year, 7 targets, 5 catches, 42 yards.
Yeah. All right, cool. And I just want to throw one more name out in the sell high discussion. How do you feel about Dak Prescott? He has his upcoming schedule is interesting. Baltimore, Washington, at Minnesota, at the Giants. Those 4 teams are 12th, 8th, 3rd, and 2nd in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. Baltimore, Washington at home, at Minnesota, at the Giants. Then it's great in weeks 15 and 16. Tampa Bay and Detroit, they're among the worst. But do you think, a lot of people have Dak probably have another quarterback. Do you think that we've seen the best from Dak, or do you think just he's an ascending player and don't worry about it?
I think he's still going to play well this week. Baltimore stats, I think, are a little overinflated based on who they played.
And they're also bad on the road. Go take a look at how their defense is played on the road.
I mean, the thing that makes Dak good is you're not going to get killed by turnovers from him.
Right.
So he's not going to hurt you with the negative point. Now, he's going to have probably along the way here. It may happen this week, just based on narrative, that he may be, you know, poop all over himself. And you hear the Tony Romo talk. But so far, he's been pretty consistent with a good floor.
I do think the Baltimore defense is really good. I just wonder, like, selling high on Dak Prescott, he's a borderline starting quarterback that you're starting with good matchups. What's the value of that?
He is not. He is a must-start quarterback right now. He's the only reason he's not a must-start is because of the value. Like, you might have him and someone else you really like just because you picked him up off waivers. But he is so good and so consistent right now. There's nothing borderline about him.
What?
Like, okay. Dalton's borderline and Eli's borderline. They've had good games and bad games. Like, Prescott is every single week delivering.
His last 4 games, 23, 30, 29, 22. Before that, 24, 21, 19.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really since week 3, he's been delivering, just like you said. I don't know if people are willing to pay for that.
Cowboys fans are.
That's fine. But I mean, here are the situations where you're going after Dak Prescott. If you're not sure that Derek Carr is going to, Carr hasn't been very consistent this year, so you could go and get Prescott to pair with Carr. You could replace Matthew Stafford with Dak Prescott.
That's right.
But there are so many other quarterbacks where there's just too much of a track record and too much upside to where you'll say, yeah, I'm going to keep Andrew Luck.
I mean,
or I'm going to keep Matt Ryan. And not worry about Dak Prescott. Prescott's a great backup.
Where's Prescott on the trade value? Like,
he's tied for 12th with Derek Carr.
Okay.
See,
that sounds about right to me.
All right. So Carr, that's interesting. I feel like you're a little low on Carr.
I feel like Carr could actually be a pretty decent sell high because three of his last four games, he's been below 15 fantasy points.
And if they have their way, they're going to want to run the ball.
Yes.
But I think that's proven my point, Adam, is if he's tied for 12th with Carr and you think Dave's low on Carr, whether he's been great or not, there's 10 quarterbacks that Dave would rather have than Dak Prescott the rest of the year, and that you probably agree.
It's actually 13.
13 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So there's no value for the guy that people value as the...
I think the thing you're doing with Prescott is you're trying to take him off, in Adam's scenario, he's paired with somebody else. You're trying to take him off somebody else's roster who is not using him.
Well, he's trying to sell him.
Huh?
No, you're trying to sell him or buy him? I'm just bringing it up. Here's the reality. Not every team has one of those quarterbacks that's ahead of Dak Prescott. So you look at the roster grid, which is one of my favorite features on CBSSports.com, by the way, and you find the one or two teams that are struggling at quarterback in your league, and you try to trade Dak. That's where I was coming from with that. There aren't that many teams that need a quarterback. I get that. But there's probably one or two.
Is he the guy to trade for if you've been streaming quarterbacks for most of the season?
Well, are you worried about the schedule? I mean, I'm not really. The Minnesota game, maybe, but the offensive line is just so good that I feel like he'll still be pretty good.
I don't disagree. I just don't think people are buying in yet.
I think after yesterday, they're buying in more.
Buying it, yeah. Okay, what was one more thing I was going to say here? Oh, with Carr. Yeah, I mean, he has had some weird clunkers, no doubt. Denver was one of them. But I don't know. I really value him as kind of a borderline top 12 guy. I feel like he's a stud.
He's definitely not a stud.
No?
No. He has the potential to be.
There can't be 15 studs.
There can.
The way their offense is.
That's the quarterback position.
It just doesn't cater to, I think, what they want to be.
But they had one game where they played smash mouth football. It was against the best pass defense in the NFL.
But what they wanted to be coming into the season, which is why they made the moves to get this offensive line, was to be this type of team.
Okay. Cool.
Or maybe not fully, but more so this than what I think they were prior to this.
Works for me. Well, look, if you want to go to a Raiders game, or if you were lucky enough like me to go to that Giants game on Monday night, I used SeatGeek. I've got the app on my phone. Actually, like one of my kind of weird dorky pastimes now is, I wonder how much tickets are for that game, just to kind of see what the market is for games around the country. So you get the SeatGeek app, you search for an event, you click on the event, and here's what it is. They take tickets from multiple websites, they put them in one place, they do all the work for you on SeatGeek. And by the way, you can save $20 off your first purchase with our offer code FFT. When you look at the event, there are dots all over the place. Each dot is a ticket. The greener the dot, the better the value. So you look at the map, you immediately see, oh, this is the best bang for my buck. Or if you want to, you can sort by price if you just want to get in the stadium for as cheap as you can. SeatGeek makes it really easy. Now, this used to be a really annoying process, going online to find tickets. SeatGeek has made that process so simple. They want to help you, like I said, get the most bang for your buck. So they rank every ticket. They give it a grade based on value. And every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. So you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Download the app. Use our offer code FFT. You'll get $20 back after your first SeatGeek purchase. Again, the offer code is FFT. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code FFT today. The rest of the news and notes. I read something in the New York Post yesterday about Rashad Jennings. According to Pro Football Focus, he is the only running back in the NFL this season with at least 20 snaps not to surrender a single pass pressure.
And that has been your New York Giants update, brought to you by NewYorkGiants.com.
I thought that was pretty interesting. Thank you, Heath. Thought that was pretty interesting that he's been that good in pass protection and he's not going anywhere. Minnesota released Blair Walsh. They signed Kai Forbath. Pittsburgh defensive end Cam Hayward out for the season with a torn pec.
That's a big deal.
It is.
Yeah, their run defense wasn't very good when he was out for a while. I think he either got hurt or missed the game against the Dolphins, and that's mm-hmm. when Jay Ajayi became a thing. And I think the one game he did come back was the only game where the Steelers' run defense was actually pretty good. And well, now they get Cleveland this week. It's going to be a little interesting. I think Crowell's kind of sneaky this week. I'm not confident enough to call him a top 24. Yeah, he's been catching the ball lately. He's been getting 3-4 catches a game.
Well, I guess, is the Steelers defense going to deliver for you this week?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, eventually the Browns are going to make mistakes, and they're just known for not putting up a ton of points.
They'll be top 10 for sure.
Well, Sammy Coates has two broken fingers, so he's not going to deliver for you. And if you're in a two-quarterback league, RG3 might start practicing soon. Might start.
Yeah.
If that matters. Let's preview New Orleans, Carolina, and then after this, we're going to end the show with a bunch of emails, a lot of commissioner questions. I do have some rest of season rankings I want to go through with you guys. But let's do Thursday Night Football, Dave, New Orleans and Carolina. Sorry, messed that up.
Yep.
Oh, this was a great fantasy game in week 6. By the way, I forgot a bonanza last week. I will make up for it this week.
No. Everything was
last week was the best
right?
week had this season.
It was.
And you didn't bonanza a single game. It was perfect. Don't do it again.
My luck is turning. I mean, I got two bonanzas right in a row. The Dolphins are 1-0 since I joined them. The Vikings are still bad, so I don't think it was me. I think we're okay here.
It was you.
Alright, maybe it was. I guess lingering effect. Alright. I noticed, kinda weird. Panthers stink against the pass. Heath has Drew Brees 4th. Dave and Jamie have Drew Brees 7th. I thought that was a little, surprising. Eyebrow raising. Talk about Drew Brees number 7, Dave and Jamie.
I'm still gonna start him. Little concerned about him playing outdoors on grass, short week. That's really about it. And I think the Carolina secondary has been playing a little bit better. Front seven's been playing significantly better.
Okay.
This is, I feel like playing at Carolina isn't a guarantee for Drew Brees to have one of his Drew Brees-esque type games.
Yeah, it's just the outdoor thing for me.
All right. He has scored 30 fantasy points in each of his last two road games, and it's not that they don't like him. Heath has him 4th. Dave and Jamie would start Mariota and Wilson and Roethlisberger ahead of Brees, but not Heath. Go to the other quarterback here. How confident are you in Cam Newton? He did have, I think, the best game of any quarterback against New Orleans this season. He scored 30 fantasy points, had a rushing touchdown. How do you feel about Cam this week? I'll go to you, Heath.
I'm starting him in almost every situation. I mean, I'd rather start Mariota over him. I guess that's the one guy that you could have on your team with him that you might start over him. I thought it was good that we saw him running near the goal line against Kansas City and running more last week. He needs to do more of that. And I take it back. I've actually got Newton 1 spot ahead of Mariota. I'm starting him ahead of Mariota.
Okay. And I almost asked Matt Ryan, and I forgot about the bye week, so never mind that.
Vicar Ryan.
Vicar Ryan. Any thoughts? Are we done with Cam Newton, guys, or you have any further thoughts?
No, I think you know what he is at this point. You know, his ceiling hasn't been very good, and so you're hoping for 25-plus points as opposed to expecting it.
Yeah. Okay, the running backs. Which one do you like better? Well, we'll get to Hightower in a second, but out of Ingram and Stewart, who do you like better?
Stewart.
Stewart, for sure. I don't know that New Orleans can run the ball at all against Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's tough. Are we benching Mark Ingram?
I think he can. It really just depends on who else you're looking at. I would take Rob Kelly over Mark Ingram this week. Starks over him. Riddick over him.
Even in standard?
I'm talking about standard.
Wow.
If Rawls gets in a full week of practice, I'd start him over.
Yeah, I would too. Absolutely.
Oh, we won't know that, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah. Practice today and tomorrow in full.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. So
I mean, even if he's limited, they just cut Christian Michael. You've got to figure Rawls is
they also
play.
Signed somebody off their practice squad and still have Alex Collins. Plus,
yeah,
they can't process a full workload.
I guess.
So it's not a guarantee
I guess.
Yeah, well, here are the last four running backs to face Carolina. Ingram, 5 fantasy points in standard. David Johnson, 10 fantasy points, but he had 10 carries for 24 yards. He had a big game receiving. Todd Gurley, 6 fantasy points. Spencer Ware, 7 fantasy points. It is a Thursday, though. That should help, right?
Theoretically, it should.
Yeah.
And Ingram, I believe, has a touchdown in 2 of his last 3 against Carolina, but not a lot of yardage.
I don't think
he's
a slam dunk bench, but there are some guys you could say that you could start over.
The ceiling is 60 yards and a touchdown?
I feel like we need to do a study, and none of us have time to do it.
What's the study?
But I want to know the impact of 2016 on the Thursday narrative. Because
it's
changed.
It's been different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
You think just teams are prepared for it now?
I don't know. I don't know what the reason it's been different, but I don't feel like running backs have been as good as we expect them to be. Quarterbacks have been better than we expected to be. Defenses haven't been as good as we expected them to be. And maybe that's just because I'm remembering a few specific games.
No, you're right.
It seems like though it's changed this year, and it's been 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed to the point, Heath, where I didn't even figure I'd bring it up in this week. You know, like I don't think anybody's expecting these two teams to go out, play a sloppy game, and stink and have a total dud. And I don't even say when in doubt Thursday's out anymore. These two teams last year on Thursday, they did fine. The Carolina didn't put up a huge fantasy game because they had two pick sixes. They dominated the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. The Saints beat the Falcons 31-21. Drew Brees only scored 18 fantasy points, but he had a great game. He just only threw one touchdown. So I don't think people are really worried about that. Tim Hightower is 75% owned. Do you think he's droppable at this point? We're not starting him. What do you think about Hightower?
I thought about it in one of my leagues where I don't have Ingram.
I want to see the split in carries this week. I fully expect Ingram to get like 75% of the carries, and if that's the case, I'd drop him.
Okay, so one more week.
You would expect him to get 75%?
Ingram.
What? I don't understand.
It's true.
I just don't think it's going to be that high.
Well, that's where it was 3-1 3 weeks ago.
But that was pre-fumble.
Right, and it's trended back towards that direction the last 2 weeks.
No, 2 weeks ago. I don't know what it was against Denver. 2 weeks ago,
Hightower had more. And then last week, Ingram. I feel like Hightower had all 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Hightower had more. This week, Ingram had more.
Ingram had 11. Hightower had 8.
Yeah, maybe Ingram was so much better. Ingram had 11 for 50. Yeah. Hightower had 8 for 21.
And then with snaps, it was Ingram with 22 and Hightower with 14. So I still think they're fairly close to each other. And Travis Cadet ended up taking some work away from those.
All right, let me speed things up here. Let's talk about the Saints wide receivers. The Brandon Cooks ranking is very interesting. 21st for Jamie, 14th for Heath, 6th for Dave. And in PPR, it's more or less the same. So Dave thinks Cooks is a top 7 wide receiver. Heath has him about 14th. Jamie, 21 in standard, 23 in PPR. Dave, you can lead off the Brandon Cooks discussion.
Well, I got burned by saying Cooks was a bad start last week. In the last minute of the game, he came up with two huge catches, and the touchdown in double coverage was phenomenal. And just a great throw, better catch. And he's got a much easier matchup this week against Carolina. There's definitely some exploitable corners there on the outside. And I think Brandon Cooks has a chance to do well. I don't see myself benching him this week. Just too explosive of a player, even though he's not playing on turf. I can't do it. I think he's going to be very good.
Think Chris wrote about this with Cooks over the last couple of years. In his career, 12.7 fantasy points per game, which is obviously outstanding at home. 6.8 on the road.
Yeah, it's just
that's
home road.
Huge.
For him.
That is a huge difference.
It is tried and true with him. He's the definition of the Saints.
Oh, home road, yeah.
I think the Drew Brees thing gets overblown just a little bit because he's worse, but he's so good at home that he's still a top 5 quarterback. Cooks has been bad on the road. Now I've still got him 14th. I'm not benching
his high game on the road this year: 7 catches, 58 yards, 1 touchdown.
Mm-hmm. I do that's think 11. The Panthers secondary is bad enough that he's probably still going to have a decent game. But
okay, and Michael Thomas must start.
Yeah. He's been the best on the road.
And Willie Snead a flex. Snead or Ingram?
Snead.
Snead and PPR.
Ingram standard.
And how about Kelvin Benjamin or Brandon Cooks? I know it's going to be Cooks for Dave, but for you guys, for Heath and Jamie, Cooks or Benjamin?
Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Can you score a touchdown, please, Kelvin Benjamin?
Really?
He's going to.
Yeah.
Guaranteed it.
Five straight games with between 70 and 86 yards, which isn't bad. I mean, it's a good baseline there, but just get in the end zone. And all right, start Greg Olsen. Kobe Fleener, any hope for him? He had a 2-touchdown game against Carolina. One of them was a rushing touchdown. Well, any hope for Kobe Fleener this week?
There's so many tight ends.
Ladarius Green or Kobe Fleener?
Green.
Go to the waiver wire. We don't have to start either.
I wouldn't play Fleener outdoors.
I've got Ladarius.
I wouldn't play Fleener.
Zach Ertz or Fleener?
Ertz. You need to go way lower.
So you don't want Fleener?
No.
No.
Okay. Do any of us have him in the top 20?
I don't know.
We shouldn't.
No.
And sit the DSTs? I'm excited for the commish show. Oh, I got 2 Thursday night emails real quick. Thomas from Long Island. Good morning, Carson, Jared, Paxton, and Cody.
Rookie quarterbacks?
Oh. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Specifically taken ahead of Dak Prescott. Should I flex Hightower? These are some gross-ish. Maybe not. Hightower, Royal, Tyreek Hill, or Marvin Jones, PPR?
Are you going to Hill again?
I think it's, you say Tyreek was the...
Tyreek Hill, not, Marvin Jones.
Not Hightower, not Marvin Jones, not...
Eddie Royal?
Yeah,
it's Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
Yeah. Hoping that he gets Macklin the same type of workup.
Yeah, if Macklin plays, you go Jones?
I guess.
Probably.
Okay. Tyler from East LA, Cam Newton, or Marcus Mariota?
That's going to be Mariota. A split decision. I've got Cam one spot higher.
Wow. Mariota.
Okay.
I have that choice to make in the league, and I'm starting Mariota.
Kamish emails. All right, this one is from Tony. Where's Tony from?
Tony is from Provo, Utah.
Could you please touch on leagues still having week 17 championship rounds? My league manager seems to be under the impression this is an okay thing to do, and I think he is nuts. Please school him as to why it is idiotic. Thanks, Tony.
So many good players don't play.
That's typically how it goes, is that the teams that are locked into playoff position don't bother putting their starters out on the field for
It would be in baseball if they didn't have a World Series, but when they got to September and did the September call-ups, they just said whoever won the most games with the September call-ups won the championship.
I think it's overblown, though, because you have divisional games, so a lot of them are important. It's like the Patriots and the Cowboys, I feel like, are going to be the two teams that are going to be sitting everybody. I don't think it's that many people that are sitting.
I will say my most favorite championship ever was a Week 17 championship that I won with Devin Aromashodu.
I remember that.
That was a couple years ago. That was a beautiful day. It was like 8 years ago, yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Are you opposed to Week 17, guys?
Yes.
I don't like it. I would deal with it if I had to, but I'd want to know it before I joined a league.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Okay, so Tony, tell your commish he's crazy. By the way, if you play in a Week 17, good matchups, New Orleans at Atlanta, Green Bay at Detroit. The Packers have good matchups there. And Stafford had a huge game against Green Bay the first time around. Carolina's at Tampa Bay. It's a bad matchup for Doug Martin, maybe, but it's good for a lot of players in that game. Pittsburgh hosts Cleveland. And Seattle running backs are at San Francisco.
Is that going to be Cleveland's last stand? Are they going to be 0-15 going into that game?
Probably. I have this weird, weird feeling about this week.
That they're going to... Wow.
Set the Steelers.
Big game on the road.
That would be something.
Yeah. No, it's a home game.
For the Browns, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at Big Ben on the
road. Oh, Big Ben on the road, yeah.
I wonder, is the split... I feel like the split between Ben's performance at home and on the road is bigger than Breeze.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get the Browns factor, so...
Right.
Right.
Negates it.
Browns and Colts are his next two road games. Oliver from an American naval base in Italy. Cool. Welcome,
Oliver.
Thank
you, Oliver.
Thank you for your service.
He says, dear Mike, Ray, and Mike.
Linebackers.
Who?
I mean, sure.
Ray Lewis. Mike Singletary.
Singletary.
Well, no, every quarterback. There's the Mike.
And then there's the Mike linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The middle linebacker is the Mike.
Yeah.
It is the Mike. 52 is the Mike. What's your take on teams in partial keeper leagues trading away expensive talent at the deadline for value players who might be worth keeping next year? At what point, if any, do you feel a league should step in and veto that kind of trade?
Never.
I think it's part of the league. I think that's what keeper leagues are all about. It's what keeps people who are stinking interested in their teams.
Well, that's what, I was just looking at one of our leagues. It's a redraft league, because all of our leagues are redraft leagues. And I was wanting to make a trade, and four of the teams in the league are 3-7 or worse. And I feel like I can't even make them an offer because they shouldn't be making trades.
Correct.
Because they're done.
Yeah.
And so it really shrinks the pool.
Is 3-7 done?
3-7. It depends on how many wins the first place team has.
Because we're in a league where it's five wins is in first place.
Right. I'm in a league where everybody's either 6-4, 5-5, or 4-6.
So you think 3-7 I'm okay to make offers to these teams? Because they've got some good players that I'd really like to trade for.
Yeah.
I guess.
You've got to make sure those
just,
trades
it depends on also what the trade process is, if the commissioner is going to veto it or not.
Yeah, do me a favor and at least look at the transactions and see that they're actually still paying attention. Because if they're not even trying and then they make a trade with you, that would piss me off.
Yeah. That would be filed under sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all people we work with. Nobody's doing me a favor.
But in the no,
they might still like the trade, but they don't have the right to make a trade if they haven't been trying to win.
Unless they feel like this is their last stand to make a run and get in at 6-7.
How do you determine if they've been trying? Like, if they've been setting a lineup.
Setting a lineup, making ad drops?
Setting a lineup is trying.
Absolutely. Making transactions is trying. If you don't make any transactions, any ad drops, you're not trying.
For a week?
No,
several weeks.
No, like,
if you're a bad team, you're high up on the waiver pecking order.
Yeah, like 3 weeks or so. You know?
If you're not taking advantage of that,
almost all of our leagues are fabs. Maybe they just couldn't get anybody.
No,
they keep getting outbid. They're out of money.
Get out of town. All right. By the way, the PS from Oliver from the American Naval Base in Italy says, thanks for keeping me company on my commute. It's a great way to stay connected to life back home, and I really appreciate the advice and friendly banter. All the best, gents. Thank you again, Oliver. David Maurice on Twitter, what rules or incentives would you create to prevent tanking in a keeper league? Same kind of question.
Yeah, this ties into the last question. Allow the trading of future draft picks.
Right.
It has made our keeper league so much more interesting.
But it's going to create more tanking. Like, people will trade all their good players.
But that's part of the strategy.
Right. Tanking is part of keeper leagues is the main thing.
Yeah. Okay, Chad from the happiest place on earth.
Parkersburg, Iowa.
Dear Mark, Matthew, Doug, and Aaron.
Oh, those are Packers backup quarterbacks.
Did you know that? Because it's in the email, or did you?
Oh, I'm not looking at the email.
Yeah, liar. 10-team, 2-quarterback league, best friends league. I have dominated the league for its entire existence. Had only Rodgers and Stafford, 2-quarterback league, with Stafford on bye last week. Offered trades to the whole league. Kristen Michael for their trashy backups. Even Michael and Diggs to some. Ended up with Osweiler for Kristen Michael. Okay. Find out Saturday. Teams had a group text going to veto trade. Only needed 4 votes. No trade. Saw group at party Saturday. Told them they were cheating collusionists. Pick up Petty. 1x25. Told them every single trade gets vetoed in perpetuity.
That's funny.
I cracked. I thought that was amazing. He stuck it to him. He picked up Bryce Petty and he won by 25. Good for you.
Imagine being the guy that hits accept on trade offer Brock Osweiler for Kristen Michael. Of course, now that is pretty good.
Yeah. All right. From Carmelo, or Carmelo, from Mello, excuse me. Big Knicks game tonight. I am the commission one league. We had an 18-year-old with an average team trade Gronk for Lamar Miller to a team that has Ajayi, David Johnson, AJ Green, and Mike Evans. So the Ajayi, David Johnson, Green, Evans owner gave up Miller for Gronkowski. I was going to let the trade stand, but 2 people made a stink and 4 others didn't really like it. We felt like the 18-year-old was giving a first-round pick Gronk for Lamar Miller, who has been more of a third-round value at this point. And he was making that team great just so he could fill his RB spot. It got vetoed. I had to put the players back on the original teams, and the tradees were pretty mad. We also gave them the option to add Riddick or Moncrief to make it fair, but the Gronk owner didn't want to and is blaming me, the commissioner. Your thoughts? P.S. Go Raiders. We need a tight end like Hoopa.
That's a bad, 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 bad job of commissioning.
Terrible, right? That's a totally awful. Legit trade.
Do not reverse trades unless you're kicking people out of leagues.
Gronk for Lamar Miller isn't necessarily a fair trade. I understand where he's coming from. And the commissioner was pressured to do something about the trade from others in the league. The whole league could have fallen apart over that trade.
Yeah, this fallen all goes apart, back to...
I don't care.
Overpaying for running backs. Like, sometimes you have to do it. Yes, Gronk is better, but it's not that much different.
You don't reverse bad trades. You reverse collusion, and then you kick them out of the league.
All right, a couple more here. And then I get to call out Commish Jamie. Josh Perrigo, what are your feelings on freezing non-playoff teams' rosters as far as ad drops?
I don't like it.
Ad drops? That's horrible. Trades is the different story. But ad drops, no, because you want those teams to be competitive against playoff caliber teams.
Right.
Plus, if you're playing with your buddies, maybe being the spoiler is motivation enough.
Now, once the playoffs have started, this should absolutely be happening.
Oh, yeah. If you're not in the playoffs, you're done.
My home league, there are people that will miss the playoffs and then just to screw with people, pick up people.
Oh, no, that's not allowed. That's not cool.
Yes.
Right.
That's breaking the man code.
Adam in Wallingford, Connecticut, CBS 12-team standard league. I traded Tyler Eifert for DeAndre Hopkins. I also own Travis Kelce. It received the maximum amount of owner objections, and it went to the CBS commissioner for approval. How does that work? Should that have received those vetoes? It was allowed to go through by the CBS Sports commissioner.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't see any
reason. We don't have anything to do with the CBS commissioner vetoing trades.
Well, I think what happened is the league owners objected, And so then it must, I guess it was a money league and it went to one of our commissioners. But
right, to make a ruling on
but it. But it went through, so.
Like, yeah, it should go through. This is not a vetoable.
Adam wants to know the process. And I just, my guess is that somebody reviews it.
Dave sits at his computer
Dave's
and laughs
satisfied.
At people for making bad trades and tells us all about how terrible they are and we all laugh at them. And then he approves or denies them.
All right, Jamie, you ready to be called out, Kamish?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, we've
Jamie's nervous.
We've had one owner in our league who has had an illegal lineup week after week after week.
Okay.
I am 6-4. I am playing him this week. He's 1-9. So he's given up. I don't know what to do because I obviously would like to win this week, but feel kind of cheap beating an illegal lineup. And I've noticed it for three straight weeks, and I should have brought it up before. So okay. Do you tell this guy, hey, set a lineup? Do you not say anything?
What you should have done is not say anything.
Well, I'm an honest guy, Heath.
What I'm going to do is let them know so they'll set it just against you and then go back to an illegal lineup next week.
Yeah, and like my team is in some trouble this week too. So
I beat you last week, right?
You beat me last week, yes.
Yeah, you bring up when you beat me easily, but you don't bring up when I beat you.
You have the worst coach rating in the league in that league.
Who does?
You.
Really?
Yeah. Awful. You're 6-4 with the easiest schedule in the league, too.
Oh, God. You know what? That is like the most Heath thing to do. He loves to talk about people who aren't as good in fantasy as they might think they are. Like, that is such classic Heath. And you are always the victim. Oh, I have so much Doug Martin. You're the only guy in the world who's had any injuries on his fantasy team, Heath. Congratulations. You piece of garbage. You got under my skin. I can't believe I let you do that.
Piece of garbage?
I absolutely hate you right now.
You know, if I set the lineup for this team, you're going to lose.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't think it's fair that other people have beaten up on this guy, and I finally get my chance, and now I'm being an honest person. I don't know what to do here.
Well, why didn't you say something sooner then?
I don't know, because you're the commish, and
I think because you wanted to have this opportunity to act like you were being bigger than everyone else by bringing it up. And
well, you would know a lot about being bigger than everyone else.
So let's see. He wouldn't have won in week 10. The owner that he faced put up 136 points. It was the high of the week. So he wouldn't have won that week. Week 9, he may have won. I don't know if that's a playoff caliber team that he would have faced. In week 8, you say three straight weeks?
I noticed the three straight weeks. I don't know. It's probably been forever.
Three straight weeks?
It might be the whole year. Well, he's got one win, so it's probably been a lot longer than that.
And to be clear, Adam, your team's a lot better than mine in this league.
Okay, four straight weeks. I see it.
Thank you. I don't know. Well, I just wanted to bring that up.
But I had Alshon Jeffrey, and he got suspended.
What if we set it to...
it's been four straight weeks.
What if we set his lineup to the worst possible legal lineup?
Just tell him to set his lineup. Just tell him, hey, get on it.
Okay, that's a league. This is the same league that last year we got to, like, week 3, and I got an email saying there were waiver claims, and I said, oh, we're playing that one out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
We draft this league in June, and half the league is not really paying attention.
Well, this year it's better. Last year was bad. This year
I've played multiple teams that have started people on buys, and I'm still under 500.
So then don't tell me
anything. I thought you were going to call me out for this?
What?
I went and looked when you said you were going to call me out, so I was looking like what I could have possibly done wrong. I thought you were going to call me out for the trade deadline already being passed.
What?
In that league?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I made a pickup with the total intent of making a trade.
It was yesterday.
Oh, man.
So you say it's a trade deadline most leagues next week?
Not this one.
Yeah.
No, nope. Just a week early?
I think most is like the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, people
right?
usually go around Thanksgiving.
Or the week, or the Sunday before.
I thought that's what the call out was going to be.
Oh, no. Go, gosh. Oh, now I have three quarterbacks, and there's no way I'm going to trade one of them. Great. All right, one more email to end the show. This is from Mike in a flat town in a mountainous state.
Oh, it's me versus Dave in that league.
Oh, cool.
Flat town in a mountainous state?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Jay Cutler, yarg! I have always disliked that guy. His whole dealio. You know what I'm talking about, the smirk, the pout. But he was there on the waiver wire. Everyone prognosticated a good fantasy and reality performance for him, and I picked him up and played Cutler last week for my biased Matt Stafford. Now I really, mm-hmm. really, really dislike Cutler. I'm mad at myself for playing him. I should have stuck with my gut and let him rot on the waiver wire. So my question has to do with football fandom and fantasy fandom and how you separate them, or if you do. Do you play, not play, draft, or not draft based on players' personalities, team loyalties, regional loyalties, etc.? Or has fantasy football turned you into a number-crunching, heartless calculatron, no longer seeing storylines and only numbers? For example, I still have a hard time rooting for and thus owning and playing players from teams I've always disliked, like the Cowboys, or people, he didn't write people, like Jay Cutler. And then he went on to say, you know, like people who have broken the law. All right, and then he finishes. This is Mike Finders, by the way. Oh, he's from Longmont, Colorado, my bad. He says, I listen every day on my drive home. Adam has great ideas, great games and segments and enthusiasm, and the analysts are grumpy. Come on, Dave. Come on, Heath. Come on, Jamie. Come on, Chris Towers. You grumble about Team Name Tuesday, Bonanza, Drop-O-Meter, all the cool games. I laugh out loud a lot. This morning, I was listening to the previous day's podcast, and Heath was describing playing basketball with an ex-girlfriend. Heath admitted she was better than him. Chris asked, as a person or at basketball? And Heath said, both. Very funny. By the way, I know it's not Tuesday, but here's one of my team names. Don't Stop Talibin. Thanks for reading.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, right?
Don't Stop Talibin. That's a great one.
Oh, come on. And thanks for...
I think, who is this, Mike? In a flat town amount of state? That's a good one.
It is good. Also, he says,
good one.
Thanks for reading my email. If you read it as an added incentive, I will write back and tell you who among you is the best. I've been working hard on this answer, and I'm prepared to share it with you. It will be objective and fair and 100% accurate, just like your stupid Cutler advice. That is a very thoughtful email.
He already told us who's the best. You are.
Well, no, he just said he likes me.
We're grumpy. You're the best, Adam.
Thanks. I feel like I'm going to win, but I'd like to know. And I don't really care about loyalties and who, you know, rivals and all that, but I was, the only person in the world who refused to draft Adrian Peterson and Josh Brown. And that's it for me. I think we all just want to win fantasy.
That's right.
If Josh Brown had a game-winning kick at the time, would you have wanted him to make it?
For the Giants?
Yes.
Yes. Does that make me a bad person?
No.
Yeah, I would have. But that's not happening now. For Dave, Jamie, Heath, I'm Adam. Fun show, commissioners everywhere. Appreciated it, I hope. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hold on to that thing. Cornerbacks, safeties, oh.